RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, everybody, welcome to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell. The con man is here behind the glass keeping us on track, and we are your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. A really big show today. I'm actually very excited about the show. We've been trying to set it up for quite some time. It's sort of a follow-up from our PED, Drugs and Sports episode we had a few weeks back where we talked to the guys at the Taylor Hooten Foundation. Don Hooten was on, and we talked about the stats and some of the alarming things that are going on in the world of sport and with our younger generation in terms of not just PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs, but appearance and performance-enhancing drugs. And some of the statistics coming out of that conversation were alarming. And I just want to thank everybody for their response. If you want to get to us, you can. CrushPerformance.com is the website. You can hook up, send us emails, questions, comments, smart remarks. And if you have an idea for a show, if you want something you want us to investigate or talk about, let us know on the website. We will look into it for sure. And if we like it enough, heck, we might dedicate an entire show to your idea. And we've done it before. So I want to thank everybody for participating. You can follow us on Twitter. At Jeff Crush is my Twitter handle. Here's the deal with Twitter. You know, I'm not a big social media guy. I'm just sort of figuring it out. But when there's something I think that's important to post or something fun to post, we'll post it for sure. And we're slowly growing our Twitter feed, and that's been a ton of fun. And on Facebook, we have our Crush Performance page. And we also started a performance group called the Talent Grid. So if you're on Facebook, you can apply to that group and get to us as well. Today, again, we're following up on our conversation in drugs and sports. And one of the conversations that really came out of that last episode with the guys from the Taylor Hooten Foundation was a better understanding of why young people, athletes at every single level, go to the dark side. And there's a lots of things that are going on in sport right now. And leading into the Rio Olympics, I think, was a real eye opener. And if you think about the last decade or so, I think it really kicked off and got into the public eye with Major League Baseball and the Mitchell Report and the real crackdown. Major League Baseball right now has one of the strongest drug testing programs in all of professional sport. It's something to be proud of as they move forward, raise awareness, and also, you know, look for ways to keep that sport on an even playing field. When I was with the Blue Jays, we were sort of just starting into that whole era. It was coming out, and Androstene Dione and with Mark McGwire, the heavy hitters, the home run derbies were going on and the home run records. It was a big ball era. And it was interesting to sort of be inside of the sport when that was going on. And here's the interesting thing that I think a lot of people didn't realize. Though Kinsenko comes out and points his finger and everybody's talking about, you know, 50%, 60%, 70% of all players are using at some point or something. I don't think the numbers are that high. I just don't. And I, you know, being inside the sport, knowing the guys, being around them every single day, it certainly was there. And like it is today, it's something we need to be aware of and educate the guys on. But it wasn't as big as people made it out to be. However, it was real. And one of the great things that I saw inside of the sport when this all was going down were veteran players and young players stepping up saying, look, I don't want to use. Let's test more. Let's get after it. Let's crack down on this issue that we're having because, you know, the guys that are using, they're forcing me out of a job and literally making me consider going to the dark side, doing something I would never do just to keep my job. So it was a real important conversation we had a couple weeks back, not just from the professional side, but also when we looked at everything that's going on in the world of international sport leading up to Rio, the whole issue with the Russian Athletic Federation, which is still an amazing fiasco to me. How is it possible in this day and age, a government-run sporting organization is implementing a strategic doping program for their entire team? Well, that was cracked down pretty big. And of course, initially, the IAAF banned the Russian Athletic Federation from competition internationally. They were supposed to be banned from the Olympics. A few of them were allowed to compete, but the Paralympic team, the Russian Paralympic team, was banned from competition. And we move forward. Coming out of the Olympics, WADA was really under the gun Are they doing their job? Is it worth the money being spent each year on doping and trying to control this problem that we're seeing in sport? And, you know, when we talked to Olivier Nigley, the director general of WADA shortly after Rio, they were really, you know, concerned about what was going to happen with their power. It turns out that the sporting federations around the globe voted, got together. They had a couple of very interesting meetings of the mind. And the outcome of that was, you know, empowering WADA to take more control of what's going on in the world of sport. And that's all fine and dandy for the world of organized sport and the international level. But what's going on in the developmental levels? Well, the stats that we talked about with Donald Hooton Jr., who is the president of the Taylor Hooton Foundation, I think those stats alone were reason for a lot of the conversations that we had coming out of that show. And, you know, and I can't blame anybody for that, because the numbers are staggering when we looked at what we saw coming out of that show. I mean, the fastest growing user group, believe this or not, are young females. And it's not even for sport. It's for appearance altering uses. So, you know, this whole idea of body image, which is a real thing in professional sport, don't get me wrong, especially in the sports where you're being judged all the time. You know, the gymnastics, the figure skating, even the swimming. You know, where the body image is a real big issue. And we talked to some of our world-class sports psych people who deal with professional athletes. Hey, it's a real thing. It's something we need to talk about for sure. But when we see that 1 in 10 high school girls have tried a anabolic steroid and they're the fastest growing user group, that is reason for concern. Not only that, some of the stats that we talked about coming out of that show were the fact that the average age of first use of some kind of performance or appearance altering drug is 15 years of age. And over 87% of all the school age children that were interviewed, predominantly in high school, said they'd never had a conversation with a parent, coach, or teacher about anabolic drug use and the dangers. And so this conversation has become even more important as we move forward. And Connor, if you remember that, we had a ton of text response on that show. And today we're going to carry on to look at solutions. But I was actually quite intrigued by the response we got from our listeners when we started talking about this on the airwaves. It's an important conversation. You deal with young athletes. You coach young athletes. Is this something that you talk to your athletes about? Is it something that's part of the agenda when you guys get together?
You know, it's something that I think the kids that I coach are getting to that age. A lot of them going into high school next year, where, you know, the body image thing becomes a whole different animal, right? There's a lot more people judging. That's kind of the way it is in high school. So it's going to be definitely something that we'll have to talk to them about. But you're right. I mean, everyone's gone through this. It's a common thing that we see throughout, you know, growing up. Everyone's gone through high school. Everyone's gone through kind of the judgment from their peers and things of that sort. So yeah, it's a topic that I think everyone can relate to at some level.
Yeah, I think so. And it's a real important conversation to have, because I think that, you know, we don't really realize what's going on in the minds of our children. But I mean, when you look at the fact that probably about 40% of high school students say that it's easy to get online, they can get it inside of a minute if you want to get it. The problem is understanding why they're going to the dark side. And we kind of have a really good feel for why that's happening. And most of it is because they don't know what else to do. They're at a point where it's a sticking point. They see professional athletes or hear about the professional athletes doing it. And the fact that professional athletes are doing it, you know, really does drive use in the developmental levels. And there's numbers out there that really suggest that over 70-75% of young athletes feel that, you know, the use in the professional levels drive young athletes to go to the dark side. So there's bigger issues at stake here. And, you know, the controlling bodies at professional level, they really have their work cut out for them, because we're behind the game to begin with. So, you know, it's a big issue. I guess today when we get into the conversation, we'll be visited with Tavis Piattoli, who is the registered dietitian and the education manager for the Taylor Hooton Foundation. He's going to be coming on. He's worked with NFL. He's worked with MLB teams, Olympic athletes. But he puts together the education programs and provides athletes with answers and suggestions and alternatives for going to the dark side. The Taylor Hooton Foundation was put together because of the suicide of a young athlete. Taylor Hooten was 16 years old when his high school coach came to him and said, hey, Taylor, listen, you get a little bigger, a little stronger, you'll probably make the varsity team in your junior year in high school. And of course, a young athlete goes to the other players in the team. And what the coach didn't realize at that time was the majority of his high school team were using steroids to perform. Taylor Hooten got into the fold, started using, used for a year, and went into this massive steroid-induced depression and wound up committing suicide. The Hooten Foundation came together to raise awareness and help shed light on the problem and the issues surround PED use and APED use. And one of the things that they do very, very well is provide solutions. And we're joined now by the education program manager for the Taylor Hooten Foundation, Tavis Piattoli. Tavis, thanks for joining us today.
Jeff, hey, it's an amazing opportunity to be here. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
Well, I've really been looking forward to this conversation. You know, we a few weeks back, we had Don on, and, you know, it was an eye-opening conversation, I think, for a lot of our listeners, because I don't think people realized when we started laying out the statistics that are coming out of the Taylor Hooten Foundation, I don't think people realized how rampant the use is, but how accessible it is for our young people as well. It was a real fascinating conversation.
It is. It's really accessible, and we have really 2 million high school students now using anabolic steroids. So it's really concerning, and you know, we're working really hard to get into the high schools, the colleges, and really educate these young athletes about the dangers of these products.
You know, with your work in the Taylor Hooten Foundation, you know, there's a lot of great things going on there, but the people inside of this organization, they're so passionate about it, and there are some great people on board. You know, if we look at Denise Garibaldi, for example, she's on the board of advisors, and she was touched by steroid use as her 24-year-old son committed suicide due to anabolic depression. And you also have a gentleman by the name of Bob Copeland, who people up in Canada might recognize. He gained international recognition for his actions as the director of athletics at the University of Waterloo in 2010, when that team, he commanded that whole team to get tested under suspicion of steroid use. And it turned out that it was alarming what was going on with that football team. Wound up in the team being suspended for a year. So you have people on board at the Taylor Hooten Foundation who have been directly involved and have a real good understanding of what's going on in the real world of drug use and sport.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah, we have an incredible team of people that really are still focused on trying to combat and trying to fight against the whole war against drugs. People don't realize the danger of these drugs. And, you know, it's so good. I'm honored. Actually, I'm so honored to be part of this team. And I get a chance to go around the world and talk with high schools, colleges, universities about the dangers of these products. And, you know, it's great to be part of a great team that focuses on these issues.
You know, one of the stats that really alarmed me, Tavis, was the fact that, you know, 85%+ of high school and school age kids who were surveyed said they'd never had a conversation with their coach, their teacher, or their parents about drug use. And I think this is a conversation we need to start making just part of our regular nomenclature. We got to have this conversation with our young athletes and our young people because, man, let's face it, if we look at the numbers, the fastest growing user group, they're not even using for sport. They're using for body image, which is a real important conversation to have.
It is. As a sports dietitian, I mean, I worked, you know, in professional sports for 8 years. Now I work with a lot of high school athletes. It is. It's just one of those things where coaches are so busy, they don't think about what's so important. And number one, they don't think about nutrition, how the role nutrition plays on changing athletic performance, changing body image. And one of the reasons a lot of these kids are looking for the answer in a pill or a powder is because they don't know how to do it with their diet. So, you know, it's great to be part of a place that's trying to fix the problem, solve the problem, and now we're going to, you know, really work to educate a lot of high schools, especially the young athlete and the coach, on how to do this.
Yeah, we're talking with Tavis Piattoli, who is registered dietitian, education program manager for the Taylor Hooten Foundation. Tavis, you've had the great exposure and the great opportunity to work at the highest level of sport. You work with the New Orleans Saints in professional football, the MLB, the NBA. You work with Olympic athletes. So you have a very good perspective of what's going on in pro sports. But interesting, you know, you also have a good grasp of how that trickles down to the young people people and the influence it has on the young people. And one of the statistics we mentioned earlier in the show today was the fact that 77% of young people say that drug use in pro sports puts pressure on our youth to use. And, you know, that is that to me, I think just there's a responsibility at the highest level of sport, I think, to keep it clean and really regulate for sure. But this might be one of the more important, I guess, responsibilities that we have, the I guess, impression we're giving to our young people.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, there's no doubt that our young athletes today look up to our older athletes and they go, you know, what do they do? What am I, you know, what do they do to achieve that level of performance? And if they assume or if they hear that this person has done this or that, and sometimes it takes, you know, the use of illegal performance-enhancing drugs, they're going to think that's just the way it is. And unfortunately, you know, Taylor realized that his, you know, his teammates were using at the time when he made this decision. And unfortunately, there's athletes today at the professional level that use. And, you know, we know that it's a small percentage, but at the same time, it's still an athlete that wants to do that. And, you know, our young athletes look up to these individuals to do that.
Yeah, you're so right. You know, I have a question for you, Tavis. Now that you've been so involved and you've been around the sport at the highest level and working with the Taylor Hooten Foundation, where we're at right now, we see the World Anti-Doping Agency gaining some ground and a little bit of power after the Rio Olympics, which I think is a good move. We've got all the great regional governing bodies under the World Anti-Doping Agency in Canada, the Canadian Center for Ethics in Sport, USADA in the United States, and these organizations all around the world. We have the professional sports really, really doing a good job in trying to govern. Major League Baseball developing a great testing program. We see the International Cycling Union doing the same with their major fallout. Are we doing enough, do you think? Where we're at presently, I know we're going in the right direction, but are we doing enough, Tavis, do you think?
You know, I think we're making a lot of progress. It's hard to really know, like, how do you know if we're doing enough? But more athletes are testing positive. I say more athletes, but at least we're testing more athletes. We're doing more to test athletes. We're doing more to try to figure out the problem. And more sports are stepping up. And the good news is, and really what I'm excited about is, the fact that more supplement companies are stepping up to get their products third-party certified. So we're really trying to make sure athletes stay clean. But at the same time, there's going to be those athletes, no matter what you do, they're still going to try to figure out a way to go around the corners, cut corners, and get away with everything. So, you know, we've seen guys in baseball, they've tested positive three times. And it's like, oh, you know, if you test positive three times, there's a problem. There's someone, no matter what you do, they're going to test positive. So I think we're doing a better job, but it can always get better. And, you know, I think we're going to still try to figure out how do we still help athletes stay clean.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, and we'll talk about this, we're going to have to cut over for a break here. If you could stay over the break, I'd really like to talk to you, because I think what we really need to do, and this is something that you guys do very well at Taylor Hooten Foundation, is talk about alternatives. I really do agree with what you said, Tavis. The reason they go to the dark side, they don't know what else to do. I don't want to say it's a shortcut, but boy, can you imagine just being on the verge of a college scholarship or a professional contract worth, you know, potentially millions of dollars, or you're waning, getting towards the end of your career and your performance is falling off. You know, you can, as moral and ethics aside, let's just leave that alone for now. You can kind of understand the draw, but I think if people understood the options that they might have without going to the dark side, we'd have less people opting for it. Do you agree with that?
Oh, completely agree. If guys know how to fix their problems with good nutrition, and which a lot of them do, they just don't really know how to do it, they could really, you know, have a good alternative to how to do this.
So if we cut out for a break right now, are you okay to stick around over a break? We'll come back. We'll talk about the supplement world, Tavis. We'll talk about some options that athletes and parents can think about. And we'll really get into the nitty gritty part of maybe solutions for the drug problem we're seeing. Does that work out for you?
Absolutely. I'm here for as long as you need me.
Great. Everybody, stick around. A very, very important conversation today on Crush Performance. We'll get back to it right after this. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. Jeff Grishel here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, do so. CrushPerformance.com. Write to us there. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. And if you're on Facebook, go to the Talent Grid. Apply. We'll let you in. We're just talking shop right there. Today, a real important show as we follow up with our Drugs and Sports show with Don Hooten of the Taylor Hooten Foundation. We're talking about solutions today. But before we get to that, the text question of the day, get to us. It's 10-12-60. Standard text rates do apply. You can also write to us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. But the question is, have you ever used performance-enhancing drugs? Do you know somebody who has used? What were the consequences? Would you do it again? Or why did you use? Let us know. Andy, thank you for that text. We're going to get to Andy's text, an all-powerful text in the next segment. But we're joined right now by Tavis Piattoli, who's registered dietitian and the education program manager for the Taylor Hooten Foundation. He's the sports dietitian and nutrition consultant for Tulane University's athletic department and the Tulane Institute for Sports Medicine's NFL Players Association Brain and Body Program. He was the sports dietitian for the New Orleans Saints up to 2013. And the New Orleans Pelicans. He had the opportunity to work and design nutrition programs for boxing champions Bernard Hopkins and Roy Jones Jr. And he's worked in the NFL, MLB, NBA, and is very passionate about spreading the good word. Tavis, thanks for hanging on over the break here.
Absolutely. A pleasure to be here.
Well, again, a very important conversation. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the numbers and the rates that kids are using, as little as, you know, as young as the elementary grades right up to the professional levels of sport. Of course, we know all about it. And again, we talked about, you know, why athletes go to the dark side. In your experiences, you know, what would be the mindset of the athletes making that decision to go to the dark side?
Yeah, I mean, one thing we see is kids want to get bigger, stronger, and faster. And they don't realize that, you know, their diet is pretty lacking. When we do surveys, we see that 86% of high school athletes don't really eat as well as they think they do. So they're looking for ways to get bigger, stronger. They want to gain weight, but they don't understand their diet can fix that. That's why they're looking for ways to go to the dark side. They're looking for the answer in a pill or a powder.
And that's always, you know, sort of the shortcut, right? I mean, it's hard. If you don't know, how can you possibly know? We say this, you know, these young athletes, how are they possibly supposed to know? And that's why these programs that we talk about through the Taylor Hooten Foundation are so valuable. But isn't it amazing? You know, when we talk about the priorities for athlete development and performance, you know, in our models, we look at rest and recovery and sleep as number one and nutrition as number two. Without those two things, really nothing else matters because you can't reach your potential. And nutrition is so important. If you don't have it, it's not possible. Can I ask you a question, Tavis? If you were to take an athlete who's not eating properly and put them on a really smart, maybe dedicated, maybe individual diet program, what would be the impact in their performance? And I realize it's different for everybody, but it's massive, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, it's really hard to say what's going to change. But what we know is after about 6 weeks of changing the diet, they're going to see an improvement in energy. They're going to see an improvement in focus. After 12 weeks, their body's going to change. They're going to get stronger. Their body fat is going to go down. And actually, nutrition is their secret weapon. They can sleep as much as they want. They can train as much as they want. They can practice as much as they want. But if they don't eat well, it doesn't matter. They're not going to reach their goals. So nutrition is really the number one key component on what's going to change their athletic performance.
When we look at diet, we know that there are some basic fundamentals people can start thinking about, but we know the supplement world is also a big, big part of the sporting world for no other reason that the marketing campaigns some of these products have are absolutely massive. It's ingrained into our society, and yet the supplement world, it might be just as scary as the PED world if we look at the regulation and some of the problems that we have across the board. So, you know, the supplement world is another big issue that we're facing in terms of, you know, athlete safety and, you know, keeping athletes clean.
Yeah, actually, supplement world scares me more than the performance-enhancing drug world because, you know, the one thing that scares me more about supplements is the people that work behind the counter in the supplement store. I had 10 athletes last year just in the state of Louisiana come to me with products that they were sold from supplement stores, and all of them had a banned substance. So the Journal of Pediatrics just published a study, and what this author did was he posed as a 15-year-old high school athlete, and he called 250 supplement stores. 50% of them recommended creatine, which is not an unsafe supplement. It's very safe if you take the right form and the right amount and the right dosage and from the right place. But 10% also recommended a testosterone booster. So supplements can be extremely dangerous, especially when a young athlete under the age of 18 is walking into a supplement store trying to figure out what to buy.
Yeah, and it just seems like something you're supposed to do, right? As a young athlete, you're supposed to go out and pound the protein and drink the sports drink and get on the mass loader. And now the fact that, you know, we hear about all these athletes, you know, with growth hormone and using steroids to increase testosterone. Again, it goes back to that statistic, I think, where, you know, young athletes see the pros doing it and they think, wow, I got it. If I'm going to succeed, I have to do it. So the supplement world is right there, but it's largely unregulated. And I think that's one of the things that scares me the most. And I know we're making strides forward, but it's a real, real scary place to be. And you have to proceed with caution.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the biggest misconception is more protein is going to increase muscle mass, and that's a big fallacy. More protein does not increase weight, doesn't increase muscle mass, and there's very little products that are third-party tested. So that's the one thing we have to be very cautious with, is when you walk into a supplement store, most products are not third-party tested. And, you know, there's very, very few products that actually have good science to support their use. So most of the kids are looking for a product because they don't eat breakfast. They don't have snacks in between. You know, they go 6 and 7 hours without eating. And then all of a sudden, like, well, I don't gain weight. I'm not getting bigger or stronger. Let me go run in the store and buy something. Well, that's not going to solve the problem.
Right. We're talking with Tavis Piattoli, the registered dietitian and education program manager for the Taylor Hooten Foundation. Tavis, if we look at the industry in itself, you know, I go back always to sort of one of those groundbreaking studies that we've seen. It was the 2000-2001 IOC study that looked at the 630 nutritional supplements from all around the world. They started to have concerns about some of their ambassador athletes testing positive. And, you know, everything pointed back to their diet. And then when they investigated, it looked like some of the supplements they were using were causing some of these positive tests. Well, they went and did their tests and found that about 15% of the over-the-counter supplements, most popular over-the-counter supplements, were causing these athletes to test positive. And that kind of goes back to what you just mentioned about your athletes in Louisiana. This is scary. It's, you know, you have to be so aware. If we go back and look at Maria Sharapova, for example, now that's a different issue. We don't know whether that was intentional or not, but athletes have to be acutely aware of what's going into their bodies in order to keep them safe and not test positive.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. The athletes today are responsible for what they put in their body. It's, you know, I always laugh when I see an athlete blame this product or that product, but they know. Trust me, if you're at the professional level, even at the collegiate level, they know they have an incredible amount of staff that educate them. They have a list of products that are banned. They have a list of ingredients that are banned. But at the end of the day, you're responsible for what you put in your own body.
Yeah, for sure. Tavis, if we were to talk about solutions, we have parents, we have coaches, we have young athletes, and even pro athletes listening to the show today. Let's talk about those solutions. We kind of understand why athletes go to the dark side. They just don't know what else to do. And the power of proper nutrition, I mean, let's just face it. I don't think people really understand the changes they can make. If you're eating properly and training properly, sleeping properly, you can make a great result. And you know, some of the data that we've seen and even some of the athletes we've worked with, we've achieved better results without using some kind of performance-enhancing drug than if they were without the potential dangerous side effects as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Actually, the key and the secret is working with a sports dietitian. Sit down with somebody that can help you evaluate your diet, see where you have weaknesses, and help you develop a plan that's going to solve the problem. I mean, there's no secrets. There's nothing that's all of a sudden in 1 week going to take you from this level to the next level. And, you know, nutrition can make a good athlete great or can make a great athlete good depending on what they eat.
And we know that the diet works on a 24-hour cycle. We always look at, you know, sort of this 24-hour window with our athletes in terms of performance, especially in terms of nutrition. And we plan it out so, you know, we look at what is going to happen over the next 24 hours in terms of your training, your competition, and how can we support that with proper nutrition? Does that sound like kind of a plan that you might recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really hard to say, like, you know, there's no way to really prove if you eat this, this is going to happen. you can't really attribute this diet to this level of performance. What we do know is if you eat well, your body composition will change, you'll recover faster, your immune system will be better, you'll feel better, your strength will be better. So, you know, overall, in the long run, we're going to see performance enhancement.
Yeah, and it's a long haul. And this comes right back to, I guess, support from the house. You know, educating the parents is as important as educating the young athletes or even the pro athletes, because the parents are the ones buying the food. And these kids have got to eat. It's interesting what you said. You know, some of these high school athletes aren't eating for 6 hours at a time. I mean, holy cow. If we look at some of our Olympic athletes who are training, you know, for major world championships or even the Olympics, some of these guys are consuming food 12, 14, 15 times a day. You know, eating alone and the nutrition alone is a full-time job, for crying out loud.
Absolutely. Mom is the secret weapon when it comes to the high school athlete. Most people don't realize that, but the one thing we've realized is, if you know, if mom's not involved, the young athlete's not going to be successful. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of these kids are looking for the answer in a pillow of powder, but we have to fix the problem when it comes to, you know, performance enhancement with good nutrition.
Yeah, I like that. One of our mantras is moms do rule. Mom's the key to everything. So we say that on the show all the time. Whether we're talking about equipment or sport decisions, moms are the key. So it's funny you say that. We're talking with Tavis Piattoli, registered dietitian, education program manager for the Taylor Hooton Foundation. Tavis, if we were to maybe just sort of point people in the right direction, you know, when it comes to nutrition, of course, we want everybody to get with a sports dietitian, which is very, very different than just a general health dietitian. The sports dietitians have a very unique twist and knowledge of human performance and the influence that nutrition has. But if you were to sort of point people in the right direction in terms of starting to think properly and maybe to help them understand the implications of, you know, proper diet and the impact it can have on your decision of not going to the dark side, what is some of the advice you give to the people that you speak to?
Yeah, I tell you what, it's really great to see the growth of the sports dietitian. Now we have 130 full-time sports dietitians now working in collegiate sports. Now finally the NFL has stepped up and we have 17 full-time sports dietitians. And you'll see soon, hopefully, every Major League Baseball team will have a full-time sports dietitian soon. So, number one, go to TaylorHooton.org. You know, we have a lot of great information there. Number two is, you know, seek out and see whether, you know, if you're a mom or a dad or a high school athlete, make sure, number one, if you have a high school athletic trainer, see if they can help you work with a sports dietitian in your area. There's a lot of great people that work to help a young athlete solve their problems. If not, you know, come check us out at TaylorHooton.org. We got a ton of information that we can provide you with that's going to help solve the problem.
For the supplements, when we look at people who are trying to make the right decision, we have the NSF, we have Informed Choice. There's like the third-party organizations, as you mentioned, that are really trying to do some good things in this uncontrolled world of sports supplements. And those are probably the two biggest things to look for, that NSF Sports Certified and the Informed Choice. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Those are the two gold standards. When you see their logo on a product, you know the product's been third-party tested. You know it's been, you know, it's clean. It's gone through a pretty rigorous inspection process. And basically, they make sure that there's no banned substances in their products.
And that's important because, you know, when we look at the supplement world, and as you mentioned, you know, the number of supplements that are causing athletes to test positive, this is a huge step in the right direction. Tavis, in a sort of a final question here, what do you think the next big step is in our fight to help athletes achieve in sport, but also to steer them away from going to the dark side and avoid the decision to use performance-enhancing drugs or appearance-altering drugs, for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think really the key thing is to really, for these young athletes, and athletes themselves, is to look at their own nutrition. When I worked at the pro level, I saw guys that really didn't understand how valuable nutrition was. They would go to fast food restaurants right after practice. And I think the reason why a lot of guys are turning to these type of products is because they don't value their own diet. They don't think diet is important. So if you value diet, you put your diet first, then you won't have to look for those answers outside of what you're already doing.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the questions that we have just coming over the text before we let you go, I just wanted to ask you this with all your experience at the high levels of sport. We have somebody asking about the energy drinks and sport drinks. Can you give us a quick comment on that? We talk about this on the show all of the time. Once a month, we dedicate a show to the war on sugar. But the sports drinks and the energy drinks are a major, major issue in sports at all levels right now.
Yeah. You know, if someone's looking for a sports drink, or I'm sorry, an energy drink, they're probably because they don't get enough sleep, their diet's poor, they're not, you know, their meal timing is incorrect, they have an energy imbalance. So we can fix that. I have, you know, I spoke to a high school the other day, and the problem was I had a lot of parents go, hey, you know, why is my son looking for energy drinks all the time? And I asked, how much sleep is he getting? Oh, it's 5 hours. There's the answer right there. So we can fix a lot of those problems when you look at their lifestyle and habits.
Great stuff, Tavis. Well, listen, we really appreciate your time today. We know you're very busy, and I just want to thank you and everybody over at the Taylor Hooton Foundation for all the work you're doing. Again, it's taylorhooton.org for everybody, and of course, Tavis, you're involved in a couple of great other sites and education platforms, mysportsduniversity.com and mysportsdconnect.com. Some great, great resources there for everybody. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
All right, there you go, everybody. Hey, we got to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to a couple of really, really important texts, and we'll finish up our conversation on supplements and steroids and drug use in sport right after this on Crush Performance.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous Sports Babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com. This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at CrushPerformance.com.
All right, welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Grishel. The Con Man is here. Fantastic conversation today. We had Tavis Piattoli on, registered dietitian, an education program manager for the Taylor Hooton Foundation. The Taylor Hooton Foundation was founded a few years back when Taylor, as a sophomore in high school, was approached by his baseball coach, and his coach just simply said to him, hey, Taylor, you know, you get a bit bigger, a bit stronger, and you're going to have a good chance of really making this varsity team, you know, in your first year of high school. Unbeknownst to the baseball coach, most of his team were using some form of steroids. Taylor went to those guys, saw them working out, got on a regime of steroids, and a year later, when he was 17, went into a deep anabolic-related depression and wound up committing suicide, which drove the Hooton family to start this incredible movement to educate people and avoid this from ever happening again. And you know what? It's happening all too often. And I think one of the reasons it happens is because athletes don't understand the dangers of using PEDs, and they also don't understand the options they have to get results in sport, and not just sport, but to look good. Look, teen girls are the fastest growing user group when it comes to PEDs and appearance altering performance enhancing drugs. The mean age for first-time use based on the recent data is 15 years of age. And when we hear the conversation that almost 85% of high school athletes have never had a conversation with a teacher, a parent, or a coach about performance-enhancing drugs, well, we have some work to do. There's no question we're making some inroads when it comes to the professional sports, but it's happening younger and younger. And one of the interesting, I guess, spinoffs is this, from this professional sport use, is two. One, now that the organizations like Major League Baseball, the International Cycling Union, the NFL, the PGA and NCAA are really putting together powerful testing programs and anti-doping programs, there's a massive influence that goes down to the grassroots levels. Up until now, about 77% of all young athletes, elementary level, high school level athletes, are saying that when they see professional athletes using performance-enhancing drugs, it forces them or pushes them towards using because they don't know what other options they have. Great conversation with Travis Piatola here, I thought, Connor.
Yeah, and I mean, you just look at it, talking about it starts at the top, and when you're a baseball player or whatever sport you're in and you see someone that maybe you respect or look up to and you see how great they are, man, it sucks. But if someone has to fall and it's one of them, you realize the consequences for cheating, using steroids, whatever it might be. What Major League Baseball is doing right now, like Ryan Braun, the guy who I'm sure a lot of people looked up to and thought, man, this guy is who I want to be. And then you see what happens when he gets caught cheating. And then all of a sudden, like, maybe there's another way, because I don't want to end up like that guy. He's been disgraced across the whole world of baseball. You've got to look for other ways to get to that level.
Yeah, no question. Tavis has a great reputation. He is a sports dietitian and nutrition consultant for Tulane University's athletic department and also the Tulane Institute of Sport Medicine's NFL Players Association Brain and Body Program. He's done a bunch of work in the NFL. He was a sports dietitian for the New Orleans Saints as well as the New Orleans Pelicans. He's worked in Major League Baseball, the NBA, Olympics. He's also put together the nutrition programs for Bernard Hopkins and Roy Jones Jr. So the perspective from the high-level sports is fantastic, but it's interesting to hear him talk about the implications for young athletes. And it was great to hear him say that sports dietitians are slowly coming onto the scene. There's 130 full-time sports dietitians now employed by colleges and professional sport teams in the U.S., 17 in the NFL. I think we're going to see more and more of this. Now, listen, sports dietitians are a lot different than your general dietitian, nutritional dietitian that's out there. There are tricks to the trade and there are strategies when it comes to fueling an athlete's body. And that has a lot to do with the daily training schedule, the competitive calendar, as well as the stress of the sport and recovery. It's the number one thing, but diet is your secret weapon. In our programs, when we look at the hierarchy of priorities, rest and recovery is number one. And we put rest and recovery number one because we build all of our programs around the amount of quality rest and recovery athletes can get. And, you know, Tavis was in one of his recent surveys found that, you know, most athletes are buying these energy drinks, high sugar energy drinks, because they're dragging, they're feeling tired, because they're only getting 5 hours of sleep a night. A young high school athlete needs 8 to 10 hours. And if they're training, that has to be pretty consistent. So great, fantastic show today. I want to thank Tavis Piatola for coming on. You can check out the Taylor Hooten Foundation at taylorhooten.org. Just a fantastic conversation. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at golf and the Masters. We'll be recapping that. And we're also going to look at getting ready for the baseball season. So we got a big spring coming up here on Crush Performance. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a good week.